From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Dairyland Power Cooperative, based in La Crosse, is adding more solar power to its renewable energy portfolio. Late last week, the company announced plans to buy solar power from a company known as Minnesota 3, which is building a new solar power transmission facility north of Rochester, Minnesota. The amount of solar power Dairyland is buying could be enough to power 60 homes. Joining us to talk about the project are Dairyland Vice President of External and Member Relations, Brian Rood, and Craig Harms. He's Dairyland's Manager of Business Development. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis asked Craig how the Minnesota solar project came together.
Dairyland saw the need to expand and complement its renewables with a large solar project. We're particularly interested in the advantages of solar.
How does this project compare with the other solar projects that Dairyland has?
We have a couple of projects that have contracts directly with Dairyland Power. One is with the city of Galena, Illinois. They have a wastewater treatment plant down there, which is powered in part by 368 kW worth of solar panels. And then we also have a contract with the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge over in Juneau County, and they have a smaller array of about 68 kW there and sell the power to Dairyland. We also have a number of smaller customer-owned solar facilities that are on homes and farms and businesses that are interconnected to our distribution cooperatives out there. And we're seeing some significant growth in the number of those systems out there.
How many homes do you have now?
Farms, homes, and businesses, we probably have approaching 350 of those facilities out there interconnected to our member cooperatives.
Does solar lend itself to more of the private homeowner getting involved?
I think the attraction of solar by the homeowner is the opportunity to generate some of their own power and not have a lot of maintenance or operation issues. They put them up and they run, and that's the attraction to them.
I do think we're going to see a trend, and a couple of our distribution cooperatives are exploring the idea of like a solar garden where individual members could buy a panel that was part of a broader project. And one of the advantages of the more commercial-style projects is, frankly, they're more technically efficient. They tend to move with the sun. If you're going to put a panel on your roof, you're stuck with one direction. And if you can do a broader project, you get the advantages of having it move with the sun. You also have some safety and reliability issues that are addressed in a very positive way. So I think Dairyland and some of our member cooperatives, as well as other utilities, are looking at things like so-called solar garden, where we bring a number of small solar users together in one location.
Yeah, and another advantage of the community solar concept is it allows homeowners or business owners that don't have a good solar window, or maybe the covenants don't allow them to put in solar, or maybe they're a renter. So this allows them to take advantage of the solar opportunity without having issues with their own property.
Could one of you talk about Minnesota 3? It's my understanding that it's a conglomeration of power companies that you're already working with.
And this is the contract that we just announced for a larger scale solar facility that will be located in Orinoco, Minnesota, just off Highway 52. Minnesota 3 will be the owner and developer of the project. Minnesota 3 is a limited liability corporation. Three of our member distribution cooperatives. Freeborn Maurer Cooperative Services out of Albert Lea, People's Energy Cooperative located there at Orinoco, and then Tri-County Electric Cooperative in Rushford, Minnesota.
And how much power is going to be produced, and is Darylin buying all of it?
Yes, Darylin will be purchasing all of the output of the 517 kW array, which will take up about 2 to 3 acres of property and will generate somewhere around 680,000 kilowatt hours a year. That is the equivalent of the energy usage of about 60 homes on an annual basis.
Not a lot, but is that the typical solar project?
I think we will certainly see more of these going forward. A facility of this scale is certainly an exception in the Midwest here.
And I should just mention that our other renewable resources are much larger. For example, we have a biomass facility down at Cassville. That's a 40-megawatt facility. Now, that would serve about 2,400 homes, I guess.
And be 80 times the size of this.
80 times, yeah, so, or 24,000 homes. Yeah. We also have wind, and we have manure digesters and landfill gas and hydro. So altogether, Darylin's renewable portfolio now is about 12.5% of our sales. When I came to Darylin in 2000, we were under 1% renewable. So we've really made a sizable investment in that direction. And that's driven by public policy. Both Wisconsin and Minnesota have renewable portfolio standards. It's also driven, frankly, by our members. As Craig said, a lot of our members are supportive, want to do their part, want renewables. We have an evergreen program which Craig runs. People can voluntarily contribute additional amounts on their power bill if they want to see more renewables built even faster.
88%, I guess, comes from largely from coal, natural gas.
Correct. Quite a bit from our own three major coal facilities. Also, we have a natural gas facility up by Eau Claire. And then we're on the marketplace buying a lot of energy, and a lot of that comes from natural gas because that's kind of on the margin, and natural gas plants kick in when the market is right and the demands are higher.
You mentioned the state bar for renewables, and you're at or above where the state wants you to be.
Wisconsin's mandate is 10% by 2015. As I mentioned, we're at 12.5%. Mm-hmm. So we were honored last year by the Public Service Commission saying that Darylin had, of all the utilities in Wisconsin, had been the most aggressive at meeting that mandate. So that was good recognition. In Minnesota, the law is 25% renewable by 2025. And we do have those three Minnesota cooperatives. And so there we're required to achieve that 25%. amount. And we're on track for that too. I think where we're at right now at 12.5% or so, 12 to 13% this year it'll be, that's pretty good on track for 2025.
Wisconsin has downgraded its mandates because I thought there was a goal of 25% by.
It's never been a mandate statutorily. Okay. It's always 10 has been the most. Has been the law in Wisconsin. There's been talk of a 25 by 25, and actually Darylin has a members' resolution that our members are promoting a goal of 25 by 25 for our whole system. Right now in Wisconsin, it's 10%. There was an effort in the legislature this year to actually repeal the 10% mandate.
Right.
That failed, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Are most utilities in Wisconsin near that 10% right now?
All of them are basically at 10% except for We Energies, which is in Milwaukee. That's the state's largest utility.
Yeah.
I think the most recent thing I saw was about 8.5%. There are a couple things for We Energies. One is their immense size, of course. You know, they serve Milwaukee, most of southeast Wisconsin. And then secondly, they're at a bit of a disadvantage at building renewable resources given their geography. You know, for Xcel, for Darylin, for Alliant, we're in the western part of the state where we have pretty good opportunities at wind resources, and We Energies is having a more difficult time.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking with Darylin Power Cooperative about solar energy today. Brian Rood is Dairyland Cooperative's Vice President of External and Member Relations. Craig Harms is Manager of Business Development for Dairyland Power. The company recently announced plans to buy solar energy from a new solar power generating plant north of Rochester, Minnesota. Craig, you had mentioned that you think solar is going to take off in the upper Midwest. It seems that solar power, while a lot of people like it, of the renewables that we see in the upper Midwest, solar is one of the least used. Is there a reason for that?
Certainly, the cost for solar has come down considerably. And when I said it's taking off, it has already begun to take off because of those costs coming down and because there are some very attractive incentives available through state and federal government.
So, but it's still the highest price form of renewable energy that's out there. And, for example, wind is probably a third or a fourth of the cost of solar for kilowatt per kilowatt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the attractiveness, particularly utility scale, wind tends to be the choice because it's so much cheaper and, frankly, probably a little more reliable. You know, the biggest issue, I think, with solar is the reliability issue. And even for the residential user, they really have to depend on being on the grid for the times when the sun doesn't shine. And, of course, it's particularly telling this time of the year. In July and August, solar probably does the trick. But, you know, on December the 21st, when it's 20 below, solar is a really bad choice because the sun doesn't shine very much in December in Wisconsin. And if we weren't there as a backup, people would be – solar couldn't do it alone.
Certainly a disadvantage of solar is its intermittent output, night, of course, and then clouds and light intensity.
It's much more popular out west, is it not, in the southwestern part of the country as opposed to the upper Midwest?
Yes, and, you know, I've mentioned the disadvantage of solar, but an advantage of solar is it's on peak. And that's generally when we have more demand for energy. So that's a very strong positive. And you talk about the Southwest, a lot more solar down there. But I think people are seeing that there are opportunities for solar in the Midwest, and that's why we're seeing such a growth here.
Define that term on peak that you used.
Sure. On peak would be the daytime hours during the week, particularly when businesses are operating and people are washing their clothes and cooking dinner. And that's when the most power is used by farms, homes, and businesses.
Yeah. And as I said, in the summer in particular, it really follows the peak because our peak hours on our system in the summer probably are 3 to 8 p.m., and that's a time when the sun is shining. Mm-hmm. Now, in the winter, when our peak is 3 to 8 p.m., solar isn't as good a choice.
But. Right. I know that Dairyland is a power in the Kempex 2020 project. Does this project play into that at all?
I don't think it plays into the solar because solar is so small yet at this point, but it definitely plays into wind. I mean, a major driving factor in the whole CapEx 2020 project in Minnesota is the fact that Minnesota has such valuable wind resources, especially on the so-called Buffalo Ridge, which is kind of in that Austin-Albert Lea area. Mm-hmm. And the transmission system that was in place there did not have any way of moving that energy to the larger cities, the Twin Cities, even here in La Crosse. So as we look at the CapEx project, really the two biggest drivers of that project were delivering renewable energy from western Minnesota, the Dakotas, to the east, and then secondly, local reliability. You know, particularly Rochester, for example, which has had phenomenal growth and not much transmission infrastructure built. I think the city's grown by tens of thousands of people in the last 20 years. And so it's those two components that have really driven that CapEx 2020 project.
And we should define CapEx 2020.
CapEx 2020 actually is a Minnesota initiative. There are seven transmission lines in Minnesota that I think were originally proposed. The one we're talking about, the one we're most familiar with, would go from south of the Twin Cities down to Rochester, cross the Mississippi River at Alma, and then come to La Crosse. And it's designed, as I said, for reliability in our region, Rochester, La Crosse, along the river. It's also designed to bring some of that renewable energy. It is not part of the Badger Cooley project, which is another different proposal to move from La Crosse to Madison.
Mm-hmm. But having a more renewable portfolio will be more appealing, for example, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin, won't it?
Yeah, no question about it. Everybody wants more renewables, and to the extent you're putting in wind in particular, you need a way to move that and to meet the standards, but also just to meet customer need. And as I mentioned, right now wind is very cheap compared to some of the other renewable resources. The price of wind has really come down, and it's competitive with coal. Wind, like solar, does have the intermittent issue. The capacity factor of most of our wind is 35% of the time you're getting energy, or 35% of the capacity. So it's still not as reliable as natural gas or coal, but it's a major player in the energy picture in the Midwest.
I know a lot of people who are opposed to CapEx 2020 say do a better job with renewables and that type of thing, but the current transmission system does not always allow for that. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Doesn't allow for importing the larger wind volume that's coming
and
from the west.
Will this project, CapEx 2020, the Badger Cooley project, will it allow for that?
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to expand the capacity considerably coming from the west. So there are a couple kinds of opposition to the CapEx project and to Badger Cooley as well. One is you always have some of the not in my backyard. Nobody likes a transmission line in their backyard. And so we understand that, and we have to deal with that every day. But the other issue is one of system reliability and safety of the system. It's true that on most days we have more transmission infrastructure than we need, but we don't build for most days. We have to build for peak days. Mm. And the system is very constrained in this region for those peak days. As I mentioned, Rochester has had phenomenal growth. La Crosse has grown pretty well. So we have to build the system for the peak days, the hottest days of the year, the coldest days of the year. And we're pushing that and pushing the reliability. And not only is it important that we have the energy on those days, because they are the hottest and the coldest, it would be catastrophic if we failed on those days. So I think the difference is that some of the opponents say, well, let's just build more small renewables throughout the region, and then we won't need transmission lines. We have to keep the reliability of the whole system. And, you know, we have a different mission there in that we have to be sure that all 235,000 of our customers, which represents about 600,000 people, will be able to turn their heat or their air conditioning on in that hot day of the year or the coldest day of the year.
What does the future of solar power look like in general for Dairyland Power?
We're seeing more customers put solar generation on, and certainly we're going to be looking at the performance, the operation of the Minnesota 3 project, and we'll be evaluating the reliability and maintenance needs and operation, and we'll probably determine from there where we go with further solar projects.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about solar, this project, or the other projects you have going on?
Just that with the Minnesota 3 project, as Brian mentioned, you know, this is going to be a customer or a member-owned project because our members own the distribution cooperatives. They own us as cooperatives, so we're excited that this is going to be owned by the member.
There's a lot of emphasis these days on solar and wind. They're visible. They're talked about a lot. I think the other renewable resources, particularly in the biomass area, have a lot of potential and promise for Wisconsin and for the region. We do have some digesters on our system. We think they're, you know, a great answer to waste management issues. Operationally, they've been kind of challenging because it's a more difficult project. But I think the future, you're going to see a lot more biomass projects utilizing waste products. We just did our first project with Bush Bean up by
Bush Brothers Beans, the bean makers,
yeah,
in Augusta, Wisconsin.
Augusta, mm-hmm. And we have a digester there with their byproducts, and so with, you know, Wisconsin being heavy in timber, agriculture, food products, I think the future of biomass is one that you're going to see a lot more attention on in Wisconsin.
Brian Rood is Vice President of External and Member Relations, and Craig Harms is Business Development Manager for Dairyland Power Cooperative, based in La Crosse. They spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about a new partnership to buy electricity from a new solar-powered transmission facility north of Rochester, Minnesota. The project is expected to start generating power this June. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find extended interviews and photos. And if you'd like to comment on our program, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.